Welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Saturday, May 7th, and we had two games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in the Eastern Conference, in Philadelphia, the 76ers defeated the Heat 99-79. That series is now 2-1. And in the Western Conference, in Dallas, the Mavericks defeated the Suns 103-94. So that series also is now 2-1. So we'll break both of those games down in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. Really helps get the word out. All right, so we start today in Philadelphia, where the 76ers handily defeated the Miami Heat 99-79. The big storyline with this game, Joel Embiid making his return. He was dealing with multiple injuries that kept him out of the first two games. He's got that torn ligament in his thumb. And then, of course, he took that elbow to the face from Pascal Siakam at the end of the series with Toronto. That gave him not only a concussion, but a fractured orbital socket. So he has been out. He couldn't even look at his phone for the first couple of days. He obviously has not been conditioning either. He only passed the concussion protocols yesterday morning, so he was listed as out all the way up until about 12 hours prior to the game, and then he was upgraded to questionable, and finally he was cleared to play. So Embiid's return made all the difference in this game, but it was fair to wonder whether or not he would be able to actually make a huge difference when he did return, especially this soon, but that was not a problem whatsoever. He looked really spry. He played 36 minutes. He had 18 points and 11 rebounds. He didn't exactly dominate necessarily, but even a 50%, 60%, 70% Joel Embiid is so much more valuable than DeAndre Jordan. So his return was really incredible, gave the Sixers the boost that they needed to win this game. But there was also some incredible scoring from guys across the roster for the 76ers. So they were actually led by Danny Green. He set a new personal playoff career high. It was also a season high for Green. He had 21 points, and he was 7 of 9 from beyond the arc. He was just on fire in this game. And then they also got 21 from Tyrese Maxey. He was 7 of 11 from the field. And then 17 points for James Harden. And then, like I said, the 18 points for Joel Embiid. Whereas the Heat were led by Jimmy Butler. He was incredible for Miami. He was pretty much the only player on the roster who was really dominant. He had 33 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. And he was 12 of 22 from the field. So he was just doing everything for the Heat. And nobody else was really contributing that much. There was only one other player to score in double digits. That was Tyler Hero. He was coming off the bench and he scored 14 points on 5 of 15 shooting. Everybody else was in single digits. Just 9 points for Bam Adebayo. 9 as well for Max Strus. Kyle Lowry also making his return. He was 0 of 4 from the field in 25 minutes. He didn't score whatsoever. So a really disappointing game here for the Heat. But an equally encouraging game for the 76ers. And in the end, they just dominated this game pretty much from the jump. They were hot right from the get-go. They outscored the Heat 21-17 in the first quarter, and then they extended that lead in the second as well. They outscored Miami 20-17. So a really equally disappointing first half from the Heat, only managing 34 points. That is just really terrible. Now, they did make things interesting in the third quarter. They actually outscored the 76ers 31-27. Like I said, Jimmy Butler was just doing everything for Miami. He was setting guys up. He was slashing in and scoring. Max Strus knocked down a couple of three-pointers as well in the third quarter. At one point, 76ers offense sort of stagnated in the middle of the third, and it allowed the Heat to cut the deficit all the way to 1 point with 5:18 left on the clock after a layup from Jimmy Butler. It was 51-50, so it was definitely looking interesting there in the middle of the third quarter. But then in the fourth, the 76ers reestablished control. It was the Heat's turn to stagnate offensively at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They didn't actually score for the first, 3 minutes of the fourth, and they allowed the 76ers to reestablish a double-digit lead pretty quickly with 9:18 left on the clock in the fourth. Tyrese Maxey hit a three-pointer that put the 76ers back up by 10. It was 75-65, and then they just extended that lead even further. They were just raining three-pointers in the fourth quarter. Like I said, Maxey had a couple. Tobias Harris did as well. Jimmy Butler was doing his best to respond every single time. There was a stretch where it was like three-pointer after three-pointer from the 76ers and then Butler himself. But nonetheless, Philly's offense was just too much to handle for Miami in the end. It really just felt like this game was a fait accompli from the very beginning. Miami just did not have it going. And finally, at the end of the fourth quarter, their offense really fell off a cliff, and the 76ers expanded that lead even further. And in the end, they outscored the Heat 31-14 in that fourth quarter. So it was a dominant win. at the end of the day for the 76ers. Overall, they shot 47% from the field, 48% from three. That is really where they won this game. The three-point shooting was just incredible for Philly. They were 16 of 33 from beyond the arc, whereas the Heat, just 7 of 30. They were 23% from three and only 35% from the field overall. So solid shooting for the 76ers, awful shooting for the Heat. At the very least, the Heat only turned the ball over 12 times, whereas Philly had 19 turnovers. Joel Embiid had 4 himself, and then James Harden had 7 turnovers. Really disappointing stuff from those two in that regard. All of the other starters had 2 turnovers as well, so incredibly sloppy ball handling for Philly, but ultimately it did not matter in the slightest because they completely dominated shooting the ball, and then they also had the edge on the boards. They out-rebounded the Heat 44-35, so in pretty much every way other than the ball handling, this was a dominant win in the end for Philadelphia, and if it wasn't for Jimmy Butler's incredible performance, they would have won this game by even more. It was Joel Embiid's return that really galvanized the team, as did the home crowd, of course. Embiid was solid himself, but it was really that three-point shooting, and specifically from Danny Green and Tyrese Maxey. Those two alone were a combined 12 of 15 from three. That is insane. Green was 7 of 9 from beyond the arc, and the sophomore Maxey, he was 5 of 6 from beyond the arc. So just incredible shooting from those two. In fact, some of the other guys on the roster didn't even shoot the ball from three that well. Harden was 1 of 7 from 3, Tobias Harris was 1 of 5, and then Niang and Milton off the bench were 1 of 3. So it was really just those two, Maxey and Green, who were carrying this team offensively with the three-pointers. But nonetheless, this series looks completely different now. The 76ers are back in it. It is 2-1, and they've got their MVP candidate Joel Embiid back, and he's going to have 2 more days of rest in between now and Sunday when Game 4 will occur in Philadelphia. So that one is going to be obviously pivotal. If the Sixers could tie things up, this series could be going all the way to 7 games. But if the Heat could actually steal Game 4, then this series could be over quickly despite this encouraging win. So we shall see how it all unfolds on Sunday. But for right now, we can move on to the box score. And the Heat, like I said, were led by Jimmy Butler. He was, like I said, incredible. Pretty much the only player that could get anything going offensively for the Heat. He was carrying the team in the third and fourth quarters. He ended up scoring over 40% of their total points. He had 33 in 38 minutes. He was 12 of 22 from the field, just 1 of 5 from beyond the arc, but 8 of 10 from the free throw line. And he had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And he did have 2 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was minus 4 in the plus-minus, which was significantly better than all of the other starters. All the other starters were at least negative 10, whereas Butler just minus 4. So it was a valiant effort. He has definitely been one of the MVPs of the playoffs thus far, but Butler just could not quite get it done for the Heat in this one. And then, like I said, the rest of the starters all scoring in single digits. Bam Adebayo and Max Strus both had 9 points. Adebayo, an off night to say the least, in his first matchup against Joel Embiid. That is concerning if you're a Heat fan. He only was 2 of 9 from the field in 34 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, but 3 turnovers, and he was the team low negative 22 in the plus minus. So I'll be fascinated to see how that Adebayo-Embiid matchup looks going forwards. If Embiid can continue to stifle Adebayo offensively, this series is going to look a lot different. And then they also got 9 points from Max Strus. In 27 minutes, he was 3 of 11 from beyond the arc. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block. And then they also got 4 points from PJ Tucker. He was 2 of 3 from the field in 35 minutes. He did have 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. And then Kyle Lowry, rounding out the starting lineup, made his return, as did Joel Embiid. He was 0 of 4 from the field, though, in 25 minutes. And he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He was negative 10 in the plus-minus. So really disappointing output from all of the starters for the Heat, other than Jimmy Butler. And then off the bench, they got 27 minutes from Tyler Hero, the sixth man of the year. He had 14 points in that time. He was 5 of 15 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist. He was negative 16 in the plus-minus. And then they got 6 points from Victor Oladipo. He was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 2 assists. And just 4 points from Dewayne Dedmon in 12 minutes. He was actually plus 7 in the plus minus, the only positive plus minus on the entire team, the backup big man. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Heat. Gabe Vincent saw the court for 15 minutes, but he did not score in that time. And then the rest of the guys just saw the court for 2 minutes in garbage time. So disappointing stuff from the starters for the Heat, other than Butler, and disappointing output, frankly, from the bench, too, and that would result in your team scoring 79 points. Whereas the 76ers, they were led, like I said, by Danny Green, a season high a personal playoff career high. He had 21 points on 7 of 9 shooting, all of which came from beyond the arc. And he had 4 rebounds, and that was it in the box score. All he was doing was jacking up those 3-pointers and knocking them down at an incredibly efficient rate. And he was plus 17 overall in the plus-minus. The team high, actually, in that regard was James Harden. Despite going 4 of 11 from the field, despite having 7 turnovers, he was plus 27 in his 38 minutes. So that's an interesting dichotomy there. Not exactly handling the ball cleanly or shooting the ball efficiently, but still making a really positive impact for the 76ers. He did have 8 rebounds and 6 assists with a block and 1 three-pointer, and he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So despite the fact that he's definitely lost a step, James Harden at 80%, 75% is still a very effective player, even with all the turnovers that he racked up in this game. And then they also got 21 points from the other guard, Tyrese Maxey, the sophomore. In 39 minutes, he was on fire in this game. 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from beyond the arc. And he also had 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He was plus 17 in the plus minus. So incredibly efficient scoring for Maxey. And then they also got a double-double from Joel Embiid. He had 18 points and 11 rebounds in 36 minutes. I am really impressed that he was able to make it 36 minutes because, like I said, he hadn't really been able to condition over the last week or so. And so to be thrust right back into the starting lineup in a playoff atmosphere and play nearly a full load is really impressive stuff for Embiid, who throughout his career has always kind of struggled with conditioning. And he was 5 of 12 from the field in this game, so not exactly the most dominant offensive game, but he was 8 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He did have 4 turnovers, but he was still plus 8 in the plus minus. So even a compromised Joel Embiid, still an incredible player, the MVP candidate. It actually reminded me of when Devin Booker came back in the first round series against the Pelicans. He wasn't at full strength yet, but just his presence alone was such a boon to the team. And considering the caliber of player that he is, his compromised state was still an upgrade on whoever they were starting in his place. And that was the case with Embiid in this game. Replacing DeAndre Jordan, even if he wasn't at full strength, was such an upgrade for the 76ers. And it really galvanized them, like I said, and helped them win this game in the end. And then finally, Tobias Harris rounding out the starting lineup. Uncharacteristic for him, he didn't score the ball very effectively, but he did stuff the stat sheet. So he only had 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting, but he had 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. Now, he did foul out of this game eventually, but he was still plus 11 in the plus minus. So all things considered, good production throughout the box score for all 5 of the starters for the 76ers. And then off the bench for Philly, they got 4 points from Shake Milton in 9 minutes. He was plus 15 in the plus minus. And then they got 4 points from Matisse Thybulle in 20 minutes. He was perfect, 2 of 2 from the field. 2 points for Paul Reed, the backup big man. He had 4 rebounds. And 3 points for George Niang. He was only 1 of 4 from the field, though. Furkan Korkmaz saw the court for 6 minutes, but he did not score in that time. So, like I said, a really encouraging win from the Philadelphia 76ers perspective. And from the Heat's perspective, it was just an off night shooting the ball for so many guys that there was just no way they were going to be able to overcome that. And their opportunity to redeem themselves is going to be on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So we are really looking forward to that game 4. But we can move on now to the other game 3 from last night. It was the 1-4 counterpart in the Western Conference, and it was the exact same result. The 1 seed was up 2-0, but the 4 seed won game 3 on their home court. It was the Mavericks defeating the Suns 103-94. So just like in the East, this series is now 2-1, and also like the East, Game 4 is going to be on Sunday. But this was a really encouraging win for the Mavs. They were led by the backcourt, Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic. They were both incredible. So Brunson actually led the team in scoring. He had 28 points. And then Doncic had a huge near triple-double, 26 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists. And then they also got 15 points from Reggie Bullock and 14 points from Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleba off the bench. Whereas the Suns were led by Jay Crowder. He had 19 points. He was on fire, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc. And then they got a double-double from DeAndre Ayton, 16 and 11, 18 points from Devin Booker, and just 12 points from Chris Paul. He was 5 of 9 from the field, but just not really his most effective game. He had 7 turnovers. And much like the Heat in the last game, it was just an off night for the Suns overall. They actually got out to a hot start in the very beginning of the first quarter, but then they quickly fell behind, and then they were just trailing throughout the rest of the game, the Mavericks. were able to build up a double-digit lead and pretty much coast on that throughout the rest of the game. And overall, the teams actually shot the ball fairly similar. They were both 44% from the field. And then the Suns actually had the edge in terms of the three-point shooting. They were 46% from three, whereas the Mavs just 33%. And then the Suns also had the advantage on the boards. They out-rebounded the Mavericks 45-36. So how on earth did Dallas dominate this game so convincingly with the huge three-point shooting disparity? Well, one thing was the turnovers. The Suns had 17 versus just 8 for the Mavericks. They have been really tidy with the ball in this playoff run. Doncic himself had 5 turnovers. The rest of the team, just 3. It is just incredible what they've been able to do in terms of the ball handling recently. In those games where Luka was out in the first round, they would have like 3 turnovers total as a team, which is just unheard of. So that is really a sneaky advantage that this team has. They just do not give it up other than Luka, but still only 8 turnovers as a team is still pretty good. And so that was a big factor. And then just the volume on the field goals. Like I said, both teams going 44% from the field, but the Suns only got up 76 shot attempts, whereas the Mavericks got up 90 shot attempts. So that was a big factor in favor of the Mavericks. It's just the second chance opportunities. And the scoring in the paint was heavily in the Mavs' favor, 50-32. So really encouraging win here for Dallas. And like I said, it was that first quarter when they started to get down early on. It was actually like 9-3 after the first few minutes of this game in favor of Phoenix. But the Mavs quickly fought back and they went on a tear at the middle of the first quarter. First, Jalen Brunson got an and one off of an 18-foot pull-up jump shot. So that was a three-point play. And then following that up, Maxi Kleba knocked down a three-pointer. And then Brunson himself knocked down a three-pointer. So just like that, a little 9-0 run for the Mavs. And then Luka followed them up with a two-pointer as well. So Dallas quickly taking control of this game. They were actually up by the end of the first quarter by 9. It was 29-20 heading into the second. And then they basically maintained that lead throughout the second. But then it was the third quarter where they really dominated. They came out of the gates hot out of halftime, and the Suns were sort of lackluster there at the beginning of the second half. And the Mavericks were able to build up an even more significant lead. It was basically like 15 or 20 points throughout the rest of the third quarter. Overall, in that third, they outscored the Suns 31-23. So it was, in fact, a 15-point lead heading into the fourth. It was 82-67. And then, like I said, the Mavericks were basically able to coast on that lead throughout the fourth quarter. The Suns definitely did their best to get back into it. They almost made things interesting. It was like a 9-point game at one point after some free throws from Mikal Bridges with 4:11 left on the clock. They had actually cut it to within double digits. It was 86-95, but the Mavs were able to hold on and stave off the comeback attempt. Jalen Brunson had a layup with 2:30 on the clock that extended the lead for the Mavericks to 13. It was 99-86 at that point. And then a clutch three-pointer from Reggie Bullock with 55 seconds to go extended the Mavs' lead to 11 once again. It was 102-91. So that was another clutch bucket for the Mavs. So like I said, this series now 2-1. We will head to game 4 on Sunday. We were really looking forward to that Sunday slate of game 4s, and we'll see what happens tonight. We'll get to that preview for the two game 3s tonight. But first, we've got to move on to the box score for this game. And so the Suns were led, as I mentioned, by Jay Crowder. Actually, all 5 of the starters for Phoenix scored in double digits, but there was some slightly disappointing outputs from some of their star guys. But we'll start with Crowder. He had 19 points in 36 minutes. He was actually on fire in this game. 7 of 12 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, and he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. It was a good night in the NBA for veteran 3-and-D guys. You had Crowder with 5 three-pointers, you had Reggie Bullock had 4 three-pointers for the Mavericks, and then for the 76ers, you had Danny Green knocking down 7 three-pointers. And speaking of threes, Devin Booker had 4 of them. He was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 18 points overall. He was just 6 of 13 from the field and 2 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 turnovers. He was negative 12 in the plus minus, which was the team low along with Mikal Bridges. So it is a bit of a disappointing output for Booker. And you could say the same about Chris Paul. He had just 12 points in 37 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field and 2 of 4 from 3. So not exactly a super inefficient game for Paul, but he didn't get to the free throw line at all. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 7 turnovers. So an uncharacteristically off night for Paul. And then they did get a double-double from DeAndre Ayton, 16 points and 11 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He did nothing else in the box score, though. No assists, steals, blocks, although he also didn't have any turnovers or fouls. So kind of a quiet night for Ayton, despite the double-double. And then they also got 12 points from Mikal Bridges, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And off the bench for Phoenix, they got 8 points from the backup big man JaVale McGee. He had 7 rebounds in just 15 minutes. And then they also got 6 points from Cameron Johnson. He was just 1 of 4 from the field. 3 points for Landry Shamet. He had 3 rebounds. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Suns. Cameron Payne saw the court for 14 minutes, the backup point guard, but he did not score in that time. He was 0 of 4 from the field. And as for the Mavericks, they were led, as I mentioned, by the backcourt, Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic. They combined for 54 points, and they were led by Jalen Brunson. He had 28 in 36 minutes. He was 10 of 21 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. Incredible stuff for Brunson. He only had 1 turnover. He was plus 7 in the plus-minus. It was actually Doncic who led the way in plus-minus. He was plus 20, and he had 26 points in 34 minutes. He was a little bit less efficient, 11 of 25 from the field, but he had 2 three-pointers, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Now, he did have 5 turnovers. He was only 2 of 5 from the free throw line, and he had 5 fouls as well. So he was kind of doing everything on the court, the good and the bad, but obviously the good significantly outweighing the bad for Doncic and his partner, of course, Jalen Brunson. Elsewhere in the starting lineup, they got some nice contributions from Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock, both of whom had 4 three-pointers. So Bullock, he was 5 of 11 from the field overall, 4 of 10 from 3. He had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. And then DFS had a pretty similar line, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. He was 4 of 11 from the three-point line, just 5 of 15 from the field overall, though. And then they got 2 points from Dwight Powell, rounding out the starting lineup, the big man. He just played 10 minutes. He had 4 rebounds and 1 assist in that time. But off the bench for the Mavericks, the backup big man, Maxi Kleba, had a nice contribution as well. 14 points in 33 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. Nice activity from Kleba off the bench. And then they got 4 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. He was just 2 of 7 from the field in 24 minutes. He has not really been able to make much of an impact off the bench for the Mavericks in this series. And that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Dallas. Davis Bertans saw the court for 7 minutes, but he did nothing in that time except for rack up 2 fouls. And similarly, Frank Ntilikina saw the court for 12 minutes, and he also did nothing but get 2 fouls, and he also had 1 steal. So anyways, really encouraging wins here for the 2-4 seeds, the Mavericks in the Western Conference, making the series 2-1 against the Suns, and the 76ers in the Eastern Conference also making the series 2-1 in Philly against the Miami Heat. So we shall see how those series progress on Sunday. But moving on now to our preview for today, Saturday, May the 7th. And once again, we have 2 games on in the NBA, 2 Game 3s. It is the 2-3 matchups in the East and Western Conferences, and both of those series are tied 1-1 heading into Game 3, so a little bit more pressure on the away teams, the Celtics and Grizzlies, to get these victories and reclaim home court advantage. So starting off in Milwaukee, the Bucks taking on the Boston Celtics, and Milwaukee is favored. They are -1.5. That game tips at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. And in the 2-3 matchup of the Western Conference, in San Francisco, the Warriors are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Warriors are big favorites in this one. They are -7. All right, so 2 fascinating Game 3s. I am very intrigued by both of them from a betting perspective. I'm ultimately just going to go with one of them. For our best bet, it's going to be the Warriors-Grizzlies matchup. But first, the Bucks-Celtics, the Bucks being -1.5, that seems about right to me. I would probably lean towards Celtics +1.5 if I had to bet on this one. I could definitely see the Celtics stealing back home court advantage after that first game that they lost. They are going to be desperate to reclaim control of this series, but and they looked really dominant in Game 2. They totally countered everything that the Bucks did in Game 1, but I think the Bucks will play much better in front of their home court. I think some of the role guys like Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis really thrive in front of their home crowd, so I think the Bucks probably will win, but I think the Celtics have a pretty good chance of stealing it, so I think Bucks -1.5 seems about right. I think it's basically a toss-up. I'm not really sure which way it's going to go, so it's just going to be a stay away from me, but I'm going to be really excited for the game nonetheless. So ultimately, our best bet is going to be in the other game, and we're going to take the Grizzlies +7 in San Francisco. I actually feel similarly about this series as I do the other one. I don't really know which way it's going to go. I think either of these teams could steal either of these games in San Francisco. I could see the Warriors being up 3-1 by the end of it, or I could see the Grizzlies stealing one of these games and making it 2-2. I don't think the Grizzlies are going to win both of them. That's probably not likely, but still, I definitely think the Grizzlies can steal one of these games. So being 7-point underdogs just seems a little bit excessive to me. Obviously, the Warriors are the big public favorite, so there's a little bit of juice behind them. And I just think the Grizzlies can keep it close at the very least. They're just a really plucky and tenacious team. Obviously, that series with the Timberwolves was back and forth throughout. The Grizzlies have so much talent, but then they're so inexperienced sometimes that they allow their opponent to get back in it when they shouldn't. So I really don't know which way to go with this one, but I just think that at the very least, the Grizzlies can keep it close. Now that there's no Dylan Brooks and no Gary Payton, it's going to be a slightly different dynamic. But frankly, I think that hurts the Warriors more than it hurts the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks, obviously one of their leading scorers, but he's not a very efficient player. He makes a lot of boneheaded mistakes. He is a tenacious defender, but nonetheless, I think his offense can be a bit of a detraction for the Grizzlies sometimes. Whereas Gary Payton was a fantastic addition to this Warriors rotation over the course of the season. He carved his way into that rotation with his incredible defense, and I think they're really going to miss him. He was a vital player to slow down Ja Morant, and without him, they just don't really have enough guard defenders to slow down Ja and Desmond Bane. So I definitely think that the Grizzlies can keep it close in this game. I'm going to take them +7. So hopefully the Warriors don't just totally torch them. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole could obviously go off for like 25 points apiece and just dominate this game. But I think at the very least, the Grizzlies will keep it close. So that's going to be our best bet for today. And that will do it. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap both of those games and to preview the action for Sunday. So until then, thanks for tuning in.